From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Let me say it's great to be back in the studio after a whirlwind trip to Turkey last week, as the prayers of believers across the country and around the world were answered when Pastor Andrew Brunson touched down at Andrews Air Force Base just minutes before noon on Saturday. We'll talk about the significance of the effort by the Trump administration to secure the release of Pastor Brunson with Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, who was one of the members of Congress that worked with the administration to bring Andrew back home to his home state of North Carolina. And I'll share a little bit about what happened on the ground in Turkey and the rush to get Pastor Brunson out of the country once the court released him. The White House had asked me as a representative of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom to accompany him and his wife back to the States. Travis Weber, who was in Turkey with me, joins me for that conversation. Also, while we were working hard to get Pastor Brunson safely home, a storm of a different kind hit the Gulf Coast of Florida and parts of Georgia. When the eye of Hurricane Michael hit the Florida panhandle last Wednesday, it was just shy of a Category 5 storm. Samaritan's Purse is establishing work sites along the Florida panhandle where the entirety of at least one town's structures are merely splinters and debris. President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have been in the storm-hit region today. Later in the program, we'll talk with Tim Haas. He's in Mexico Beach, Florida, and he's the manager of the U.S. Disaster Response with Samaritan's Purse International Relief. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. And by the way, I hope you have taken the pledge to pray, the pledge to vote, and the pledge to stand. Take the pledge at PrayVoteStand.com. All right, after we landed just before noon on a U.S. military flight from Germany, American Pastor Andrew Brunson was reunited with his children at Andrews Air Force Base before going to the White House to meet with President Trump. Pastor Brunson thanked the administration in that meeting for the efforts to get him released. He also said that he loved the Turkish people. And in what I think is one of the most powerful moments, maybe that have ever, one of the probably most significant events to take place in the Oval Office, Pastor Brunson offered to pray with President Trump. Listen to this.
We would like to pray for you. We pray for you often.
Thank you.
As a family, my wife and I pray for you.
Thank you. Well, I need it probably more than anybody in this room. So I would. That would be very nice. Thank you.
Could we pray for you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Lord God, I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on President Trump, that you give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans you have for this country and for him. I ask that you give him wisdom on how to lead this country into righteousness. I ask that you give him perseverance and endurance and courage to stand for truth. I ask that you protect him from slander, from enemies, from those who would undermine. I ask that you make him a great blessing to this country. Fill him with your wisdom and strength and perseverance. And we bless him. May he be a great blessing to our country. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
And I just want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the President, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Amen.
That was his wife, Noreen, also praying for the president. With us now is Congressman Mark Meadows. He represents the 11th Congressional District of North Carolina. He serves on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. And he was very involved in the efforts to bring Pastor Brunson home. Congressman Meadows, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it is great to be back with you, Tony. And what a day of celebration to know that not only Pastor Brunson is back home, but our God still reigns over the affairs of nations. And so it is a great day of rejoicing.
It is. And that was a powerful moment. You witnessed it. It was a powerful moment when he prayed for the president there in the Oval Office, which was being broadcast literally around the world.
Well, it was a powerful moment. I think for me, it was really just seeing that you had a man of God that not only had he been in prison, but at times it looked very, very bleak. You know more than anyone. You've not only been an advocate for Pastor Brunson and his family, but you've kept it at the forefront of where our consciousness needs to be. Sometimes what happens is there's a moment where everybody is focused on a problem and then they forget. And yet it is the prayers of brothers and sisters across the globe that have been lifted up. And in the work behind the scenes with a number of people, certainly your involvement has been key, not only for the pastor, but for members of Congress like me to continue to remind us that, that our job was not finished. And we had a champion in the president. Listen, you and I know we've been through this before with other people that have been held captive. And sometimes administrations are not willing to put the full force of the United States government in that diplomatic negotiation. And yet this president, this administration did so. And, the president deserves a just an unbelievable gratitude, not just from Republicans or Democrats or unaffiliated, but from those who believe in religious liberty. And it was a powerful moment as the president was prayed for by Pastor Brunson.
You know, that's an interesting point. I actually hadn't thought about that, but you and I have worked on other cases. And those cases have been where we did not have an administration that really cared about actually Americans being held. At least they didn't put any effort into it, and religious freedom was certainly not on the top of their list. To have an administration that actually makes this a priority, and I actually talked to the vice president earlier today, this is a top priority. And he again underscored that the president was leading on this. It is important to the vice president, but it's important to the president. It's important to the secretary of state. It's really important to the whole team, John Bolton. And of course, members of Congress are finding you don't have to lift. The lift isn't as heavy because you've got an administration. People need to understand that this is one of those things where you talk about elections have consequences. These good things happen because the right people are in place.
Oh, you're exactly right, and you're right. It's the vice president, the president, certainly the entire team. They made me feel like there was no higher priority than getting this pastor home. And when you see it negotiated in that manner, I had the opportunity to not only talk to the pastor and his wife, but to his children. They were so unbelievably grateful. And it lets us know that Americans will not be left behind, and we will stand mm-hmm. up to those who are really trying to take the name of Christ and say, we're going to imprison people when indeed they weren't. I mean, the pastor wasn't a spy or anything else. It was just an unjust treatment, and for a people that he loves. It was really telling. You could see Christ-like love, because indeed he was saying, I love the Turkish people. He said that there in the Oval Office, and that's saying something after being imprisoned against your will.
Absolutely, without question. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, my guest. We're talking about the pastor, Andrew Brunson, coming home this Saturday. Mark, you were actually one of the first to talk to him because we connected on the flight over the Atlantic Ocean, and you were able to talk with Pastor Brunson, and I wanted him to talk with you because of all of the work that you've been doing on his behalf. Is such a humble man, but this not only, I mean, obviously extremely important to him and his family that he's reunited with his family, he's back safe in the United States, but this sends a message around the world to those who would abuse, persecute, prosecute people for their faith, whether they be Christian or otherwise. It shows that America is back as a leader. We're no longer leading from behind. We're leading from the front.
Well, you're exactly right. It is that leadership role, and it's interesting that you share that because, as you know, you were an ambassador for this administration going over, heavily involved, took a letter that I got to see a picture of, a letter from the president, signed by the president, gave it to Pastor Brunson while you were in Turkey. But here's the interesting thing is, I have actually gotten text messages from abroad, from missionaries abroad that said that they were so thankful that God has used this president to really let them know that religious freedom is something that we value in the United States, and it sends a real message to countries that perhaps believe that persecution should be the priority, and yet this president and this administration and believers, brothers and sisters, know that indeed that religious liberty is alive and well.
Yeah, I think this is what a reset of foreign policy looks like. They pushed the reset button from the previous administration. No longer will the well-being of Americans or the fundamental right of religious freedom be sacrificed on the altar of globalism. This is what America First looks like, and the entire world, at least those who love freedom, benefit from that.
Well, they do, and I think the other interesting thing is, Tony, is what happens across the globe when they see that we're willing to stand up for religious freedom. Now, in this particular case, it happened to be a Christian pastor. But as you and I both know, we advocate for all faiths that they have the ability to truly practice and worship their faith with the protection here in the United States of the Constitution. And when they see that we take it that serious, that it's not just lip service, it lets people know that there's something different about the United States of America and the freedoms that we enjoy. And the pastor, as you mentioned, what a meek but powerful word that he was able to communicate to the president, a humble man. You could tell that the attention and all the cameras and the microphones that were all over the place is not something that he's used to, and yet you could just see a real compassion and love for his fellow man.
Without question, that is the case. In fact, talked to him just a few moments ago. He's headed to New York and reluctant to do media, but wants to be able to share really the gospel and sees this as an opportunity to do that. Congressman, out of time, I want to try to get you on later in the week because another story developing in Turkey while we were there was the Washington Post columnist. And members of the Foreign Relations Committee have asked the president to make a determination on the imposition of sanctions on Saudi Arabia. So we're going to want to follow that story as Secretary of State is over there or on his way there now. Mark Meadows, as always, great to have you on the program, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
God bless you. Take care, Tony.
All right. Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. Yeah, we're going to want to talk about that story because that was kind of the backdrop of our time there in Turkey. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation kind of behind the scenes of what took place there on the ground and on the way back as I accompanied Pastor Brunson and his wife. Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy, was with me there in Turkey. He joins me here in studio when we return. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, right here in the studio in Washington, D.C., and glad to be here. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. Take the pledge. Folks, take the pledge to pray. Pray for our nation. Vote. Vote your biblical values and stand. Stand for those transcendent truths that made America a great nation. PrayVoteStand.com. All right, we continue to celebrate the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson from just a little over 2 years of being imprisoned on false charges by the Turkish government. Religious leaders across the theological and political spectrums praised the Trump administration's role in ensuring his freedom, and in fact, the administration worked tirelessly. I know for a fact, because I had conversations with the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, and as Mark Meadows mentioned, I carried a letter from the president and the vice president to Andrew the night before the trial, Thursday night. And his greatest fear was that, and by the way, not only to take those letters, but I want to thank you, those of you who signed the pledge to pray for him. I took your name, 16,000 people who pledged to pray for him, and I gave it to Noreen and to Andrew in their small apartment there in Izmir, Turkey. Because he was very concerned. His greatest fear was that he was going to be put back in prison and that he would be forgotten. And I told him, I said, there's no way you're going to be forgotten. I said, first off, you have the commitment of the administration, and I gave him the letters from the president and the vice president. I said, but you also have believers all across the nation praying for you. I said, we just collected these in just a few days. And so that gave him a real sense of relief and really kind of, I think, the encouragement he needed for the next day for the what was his fourth hearing. Joining me now is Travis Weber. He's the Vice President of Policy and the Director of our Center for Religious Liberty here at the Family Research Council. And Travis kind of shadowed me there in Turkey. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony.
Now, I know you were on the program Friday night when I was actually flying back with Pastor Brunson and his wife. But first, just your general observations of the setting and our time there in Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite an amazing day, really an amazing day to be there, to witness things happening that set Pastor Brunson free. I think, you know, one of the general observations I had is just how much we were in a foreign place. Now, I mean, that could sound cliche, but the point is we're out of our element. We're out of the course of – we're out of the ordinary in terms of things we're comfortable with and what we're used to. And you realize how much you're at the mercy of forces that are beyond your control in some ways, which pushes us toward prayer, but also a realization of the American government's priorities and action with regard to American citizens overseas when American citizens are in these tough places.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. In fact, I tweeted this out when we landed because we had a lot of discussion on the flight over. I mean, it was a 3.5-hour flight from Izmir to the Air Force Base in Germany, and then it was about 9.5 hours from there back to the United States, to Andrews. And just the fact that, you know, when we put Americans first, and the interest of Americans, the well-being of Americans, not saying we don't care about other people, but the fact that the American government has your back, I mean, that says a lot, because we've seen in previous administrations where that's not been the case.
It does say a lot, you know, and I think you think about when I was making the point about being in a foreign place, when you're over there, you come to a place like Pastor Brunson was in, which I can't understand what it was like to be in that, but just looking at it, you're saying, well, God knows I'm here, other believers are praying for me, and the American government is hopefully trying to get me out. And that is a different scenario than what most of us can relate to.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the hearing on Friday. I mean, it's supposed to start at 10 o'clock, didn't start till 11:30, and then it broke for a bit, and it went till about 4 o'clock. But just the setting, it was in a prison about an hour from Izmir, and it was in a converted gymnasium. It had been a gymnasium converted to a courtroom where they had two big sections for defendants that I think each section seated probably 50 or 60 people, where they could do mass prosecutions at one time, which to me spoke volumes about their concern about justice, that they would, after the coup attempt 2 years ago, they literally move hundreds through at one time, finding them guilty and then punishing them.
Yeah, I mean, the differences with our system really kind of bring home the point that you're in a foreign place at the mercy of forces that we're not used to dealing with. And so we saw Pastor Brunson up front in a sectioned off area separated from the gallery of people who were viewing the trial. A lot of police standing guard. And this is a situation where he's actually around others he knows. Now, he's been on house arrest since July, but before that, he was in jail, at times at solitary confinement. So for him, it's a situation where he's really been isolated, and he's going to be drawn towards God. And you're grasping at the sources of hope that you have.
Right.
And we, you know, I think being there, we're a source for hope. I mean, it's not much to do, but it's something that we're blessed to be able to do.
Well, he told me on the flight back when the 62-page, I think, indictment, or what we would call an indictment, was read, and the prosecutor asked the court to put him back in prison to face all 35 years that he had been, charged with. Panic came across the room. It was palpable.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of ups and downs that day, and that was definitely a down after hearing some of the evidence, which should be setting him free.
Right, the hearsay, which were the evidence that they presented to imprison him. As a former police officer, I can tell you I couldn't even have gotten a search warrant based upon the evidence that they had.
We can tell it was being politically driven. Yeah.
But he told me, he said fear came across me. He said, but I looked to the back and I saw people praying. Mm. And that gave him a hope and encouragement. And, of course, we know the outcome. They convicted him on a lesser charge, essentially giving him credit for time served. But they gave him 3 years, 1 month. He served 2 years, 1 month. It was a one-year difference, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, because that's not been talked about in the media, but that's what created a sense of urgency to get him out of the country. So I'm going to ask you to stick around. When we come back, we're going to check in with Samaritan's Purse with Tim Haas down in Mexico City Beach, Florida. And we're going to get an update on the relief efforts there. Then Travis is going to stick around, and we're going to continue Mexico Beach, Florida, is what I said, should have said. Then Travis is going to join me back at 42. All right, don't go away. Coming back in just a minute.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, last week when Hurricane Michael slammed into the Gulf Coast of Florida, the hurricane unexpectedly increased in strength with its 155-mile-per-hour winds, leaving a path of destruction that likened the Joplin, Missouri tornado, flattening neighborhoods to the ground. The president and the first lady were there today. In fact, just moments ago had a press conference, and this was the description the president gave.
To see this personally, it's very tough, very, very tough. Total devastation.
Samaritan's Purse has established bases of operation in both Albany, Georgia, along the Florida Panhandle. Volunteers have already been working hard in hard-hit areas of Georgia. Soon, the humanitarian aid organization will begin work in Florida, where so many families and residents have experienced unspeakable loss. And having been through these so many times, it's hard to put into words. And let me just say that the Samaritan's Purse is one of those organizations first on the ground in there doing remarkable work. And with us now is Tim Haas. He's in Mexico Beach and manager of the U.S. Disaster Response with Samaritan's Purse International Relief. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate your having me on today.
Well, describe for us what you're seeing on the ground there.
Tony, I would agree with the president's statements. I was able to drive through Mexico Beach on Friday, and it is hard to see. If you drive from south to north and the water to your left is very visible, you obviously would understand that there would have been structures, there would have been houses, there would have been stores. That's clearly gone, and most of that debris now is pushed to the right-hand side of the road against other houses that have also sustained a lot of damage. It's a difficult scene. It is devastation, and Samaritan's Purse is ready to help these people as quickly as we can get our volunteers in and up to work.
Now, Tim, I understand that there are still dozens of people missing and that the rescue operations or search operations are still going on.
Yeah, so we're in a situation here where we do not have power, we do not have cell service, we do not have running water. So it's difficult for us to keep abreast of the news. I was only able to hear the president's comments just by listening to you play them right now. But we did speak to the sheriff of Gulf County last night, and in Gulf County, only two fatalities have been recorded as a result of Hurricane Michael. Everyone is anticipating that there will be more, and if I'm understanding it correctly, there's a few people still missing in Gulf County, and of course there's active search and rescue going for that. As I was making my way to the Emergency Operations Center today, I stopped by the post office. I saw a gentleman standing outside. He's actually the postmaster for Port St. Joe's. And I shook his hand. I knew that they were trying to deliver the mail today. And Daryl disclosed to me that they sent three routes out today. One of the three routes has 700 drops normally. Today, they placed four deliveries out of 700.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's unless you've been in these environments, it's hard to understand just what this devastation looks like. But then secondly, when you're in the midst of that, as you mentioned, no power, you're kind of cut off from the rest of the world. You don't even really know what's going on two blocks away. It's a very almost suffocating, isolated experience, which in many ways can breed panic. As the anxiety sets in, that's why it's so important to have groups like Samaritan's Purse and others that are on the ground immediately to come alongside folks and say, you know what, we're going to get through this. It's devastating. It's horrible, but we can get through it.
Absolutely, Tony. And one of the most encouraging things in the middle of all of this, as we witness people seeing and confirming that their friends, their coworkers, the folks they go to church with, as they see them for the first time and hug them, it's beautiful. You find yourself in the middle of a family. You find yourself in the middle of people that are struggling to just meet their basic needs. And so
That's right. You
join with them to say there is hope. There is hope,
and
people are coming, and just hang in there. And we're going to get to you, and we're going to do everything we can for you to love you, pray for you, and support you. It's a difficult time.
Yeah, the things that divide us fall away in times like that. Tim, very quickly, I know Samaritan's Purse is stretched. You're in North Carolina, South Carolina now, Georgia, Florida. How can people help?
I'm going to say the first thing right now is prayer. And you hear that all the time. I'm just saying, let me put it real quickly. We always stress for our volunteers to be safe. When we do our safety briefing tomorrow, I have to tell these volunteers, you cannot call 911 because there's no ambulance service. The hospitals in the area have been impacted, and we're going to have to take folks that are injured out of the area to get help. So pray for us that God will give us safety and grace to love on people in His name.
We definitely will. We'll also direct him to the Samaritan's Purse website for donations and to volunteer to help. Tim Haas, thank you so much, and thanks for checking in with us. We're gonna stay in touch with you as things progress down there.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, folks, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. They can use volunteers. I mean, they've still got North Carolina they're cleaning up, South Carolina, and this is, I'm just going to tell you, this is going to be a long, long recovery effort there in Florida and Georgia. So go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Travis Weber is going to join me again.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, Samaritan's Purse, one of the groups down there working. There are other groups, but I've worked so closely with Samaritan's Purse through, I don't know, I've lost track of the number of storms, hurricanes, floods, and they just do great work, and they do it in the name of Jesus Christ. They minister teaming up with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. They have trained chaplains, disaster relief chaplains that are there, because the emotions that people go through are just, I mean, it can be overwhelming. As I was talking about, there's a sense of isolation that sets in because, first off, as he was describing, there's no power, so you really don't know what's going on. You can't, you don't have water in this situation. You can't go to the store if you need something because there is no store. You can't get gas. There's this sense of isolation and then the anxiety that's created, which can lead to, just a whole chaotic environment. That's why it's so important when you have these relief groups come in and say, no, look, you're going to get through this. You're not the first. I know it's the first time you've been through it, but you can get through this. And we saw countless people come to know Christ through the process of coming to grips with, some of the basic things of life, the basic questions of life. So anyway, I would encourage you to be supportive of Samaritan's Purse. By the way, I think it's still at the website. They'll let me know if it's not. At TonyPerkins.com, where you can make a donation to Samaritan's Purse. We're matching, and I think we fulfilled the match, but we're, I think, upwards now of $20,000 that we'll be sending to Samaritan's Purse for their relief efforts in both North Carolina and now in the Florida and Georgia area. But if you would like to volunteer, I have a phone number you can call if you would like to volunteer. This is out of their Georgia operation. 850-899-6404, 850-899-6404, 850-899-6404. Or again, you can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over to Samaritan's Purse, and help however you can. Maybe you can volunteer. Maybe you can take a week's vacation and go down and be a part of that. Let me just tell you what. You will be blessed. I've worked with the volunteers, hosted them in my church back when I was pastoring. And it's a remarkable experience for the volunteers. It's hard work, but it's almost like an adult Bible camp because you're encouraged by what you see happening and the lives that are transformed by the work that you do. So anyway, if you can do that, do so. But everybody can do something. Support them financially or others that are involved in that work. All right, it is in the midst of that devastation, it was certainly it was good news on the other side of the globe when Pastor Brunson was freed. Joining me now to finish our conversation, because there's a little bit more to the story, is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy and the Director of our Center for Religious Liberty here at the Family Research Council, who went to Turkey with me. As we were talking a little bit ago, Travis, at the end of the day, I remember it was right before 4 o'clock, the indictment was read, 62-page indictment, recommending that he be placed back in prison, which was his greatest fear. You could see the anxiety, the fear. Then the court recessed. He huddled with his attorney, his wife. She came back and said that they said no more evidence, no more witnesses, no more defense. They were really scared.
Yeah, I mean, this was a moment in which I don't think anyone in there knew what way this was going to go. He could have gone back to jail for decades. He could have been set free, or just something else happened that we just don't foresee.
And I don't think I know the administration didn't know either, because we had basically gamed out about four different scenarios and how we were going to respond. And that was working, you know, in the commission post with the State Department. We had no idea how this was going to turn out. And so they recessed. Came back, asked for his response, and all he said was, "I am innocent."
He said, "I am innocent." You know, he made sure the court knew that he loved Turkey, had nothing against the Turkish people. He was always respectful in his defenses and arguments throughout the whole day when defending himself. And, you know, we were both there watching. At one point, the judges come back in and start inaudibly mumbling as they'd done throughout the day because the microphones were not turned up enough and everyone is straining, trying to understand what's going on, even the Turkish press. And finally, it becomes apparent they're handing down the sentence. And they find him guilty of the terror charges and rattle through some sentence and calculations and come to his final sentence of 3 years, 1 month, and 15 days imprisonment, giving credit for time served, saying, in effect, the house arrest is lifted. And the exit ban is lifted. And this was the kicker, because this allowed him to leave the country.
Yeah, because he only served 2 years and 1 month. And so immediately, working with the State Department officials, the chargé that was there, who was the head of the mission, began – I was in contact with the White House. He was in contact with the State Department. And it was quickly decided he had to get out of the country right away, because there had been previous individuals – I think with Compassion International, if I'm not mistaken, it was another ministry-related individual that was released only to be rearrested. And so there was great concern that while he was able to basically walk out of the court free, they could change their mind at any moment.
That is a reality. And I think, there was someone with – who knows? I mean, there might have been others, but I know there was an Amnesty International
– Amnesty International, that was it, yeah.
Activist who was rearrested. You know, and this is kind of a point, I think, for us to step back as Americans, put this in the bigger context. We disagree about issues here, but you can criticize the government. You have freedom of speech. You're not going to be thrown in jail because of the view you take with regard to the government. That's not the case in Turkey. They've imprisoned journalists in this post-coup environment. Pastor Brunson was kind of wrapped up in this whole thing. And it's really kind of a context point for us to really step back and say, as Americans, let's be thankful for what we have here.
And so at that point, the mission there, the U.S. Embassy, with the embassies in Ankara, but they were there for the hearing. We didn't actually have a facility there. But the chargé, who is in charge, absent an ambassador, basically brought Andrew into his security bubble into the armored vehicles to get him to the apartment, get his stuff, and then you know, race to the airport and this was very fluid. I mean, it was changing every 15 minutes.
Yeah, you guys were off doing that, and I was kind of wandering with some Turkish press, just following the press activity, which was crazy outside the front gate. Andrew's lawyer came out and was addressing them, and he was being mobbed by all these Turkish press because this was a huge story over there. And there were gaggles of press just swarming all over outside, and eventually everyone dispersed. But it was very there were 100 different things going on after that sentence was announced, and people were leaving the courtroom. Press was all over the place, just a number of things in motion and a number of things that were even unknown at that point, and people were really reacting moment by moment.
Yeah, and it was, as I said, it was changing about every 15 minutes because and our departure time kept changing because they were trying to get a military flight out of Germany with clearance to land in Izmir to pick us up and get us out. And so once we finally got a departure time, we headed to the airport in the motorcade. And the Turkish press, I mean, this, I was very concerned that as we were really racing down the highways of Izmir, I think I wasn't looking at the speedometer, but I know we were going at least 75, 80 miles an hour down these streets, and the press was actually weaving in and out of the motorcade trying to get pictures of Pastor Brunson and the delegate, those of us with him. And I did one mishap, and I mean the whole motorcade would have come to a screeching halt, and it was a very tense moment.
Yeah, I mean I think that reaction that we saw over there with the press just tells you how big of a story this was and how huge it was. You know, now a lot of the press there in the pocket of the government, and you know, it's different dynamics, but it was a big deal.
Well, I've been around a while, and I've seen a lot of different things. But they actually had to bring the riot police out to provide with shields to make a way through the gauntlet of media trying to get into the airport terminal, because we flew out of the civilian terminal there in Izmir. And I tell you, it was as we got onto the plane, I could see a little bit of relief. As they got onto the plane, but it wasn't until we cleared Turkish airspace that it just, you could see the anxiety just kind of melt away from Pastor Brunson and Noreen.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it was an incredibly emotional day overall for them. I mean, I remember being in court and seeing them both very visibly emotional. At one point, Pastor Brunson looked back towards us and just sort of broke down with his shoulders heaving, you know, from the emotion of the day. And he had stood strong in prison, but this was a very, very emotional day because of the uncertainty. And that, you know, the certainty you know, kind of came into place for them, I'm sure, when they were once they were out of there.
And we flew to Germany, stopped at the airbase there in Germany, spent about 7 hours, a very short night. There was an examination that Pastor Brunson went through, and then we headed on to Andrews Air Force Base. And I mean, if you think about it, one day he's standing in a Turkish court facing the reality of going back to prison for 35 years, and in less than 24 hours, he's then sitting in the Oval Office with the President of the United States
praying for the President. Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing moment just to see him declaring his faith in the public square, but his faith, which has provided a bulwark of support for him in the Turkish prison throughout this whole incident. And we're never going to know what interactions God has used him for throughout that whole experience in prison. I mean, he spoke Turkish. He was defending himself in Turkish. I mean, he could have been witnessing to all these guards. I'm sure by his example he was. And, you know, I think there's so many aspects to this that give cause for reflection and allow us to take a lesson for our own stance for the faith, wherever we are, when things are often much easier for us.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. When we see – and that's one of the reasons that we one of many reasons that we advocate for these individuals, because, number one, we understand that religious freedom is a human right, and this is an American citizen, and religious freedom doesn't stop at our borders. We recognize that everybody in every place has the freedom of religion. But it also sends a message here to home that if these men and women and teenagers and young people are willing to literally risk it all for the gospel of Jesus Christ, can we not live for Christ here in this country where we have freedom?
Yeah, amen. Amen. And part of that is living is defending those around the world who need our help. I mean, it's all, you know, we need to pray, but we need to act. And I think, of course, you know, we're not doing one or the other. But our faith by which we pray is the same faith which compels us to act. And we can't help but act in defense of people who need freedom.
We're called
God
to.
Calls us to that.
We're called
and so I think this is this whole situation is cause for celebration,
right.
But it's also a reminder to continue to advocate for those around the world who need an advocate.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Something a little different here today. Travis Weber, my guest, Vice President of Policy here. He was with me in Turkey, at least for the first part, till I left with the Brunsons. A little different. We're kind of debriefing here on the air about our time in Turkey last week. But the reason I wanted to do this is, number one, you need to know that you played a vital role in this. Those of you who signed the pledge to pray for Pastor Brunson, as I told you, we don't do that stuff for nothing. I literally took those to Pastor Brunson, and it was a source of encouragement to him. The fact that you care about religious freedom and you make phone calls or you talk about this is what gives the administration the encouragement. As I said earlier, they care about this. They do. But the reinforcement that comes, and the vice president was talking to me about this today, the reinforcement that comes from the American people who are responding to what we put out there when we highlight these cases gives the administration the incentive and the encouragement to do it. And Travis, this is touching people around the world.
It absolutely is, you know, it's so important too to have a platform to be able to tell their stories to people who may not know about these stories. I mean, they're not covered widely at all times, but we're going to highlight them for people. And I think I want to reiterate too this point about involvement in prayer. I mean, I was over there the day before, walking around the city of Izmir, just praying for Pastor Brunson's release. And I realized, I look back, I'm like, God, you answered my prayer. Now, many people were praying, probably praying a lot longer than I was in cases, but it was a reminder of the power of prayer and the power of standing up and playing a part as believers in advocacy for those who need our advocacy, need our help. And you can do that simply by just agreeing to pray and letting him know with your name that you were praying for him.
Prayer makes a difference. And I think the millions of people praying for Pastor Brunson, clearly the Lord answered those prayers. And that, combined with the determination of this administration to seek the well-being of Americans no matter where they were and to uphold the fundamental right of religious freedom, makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's so many things we can continue talking about with this case. But President Trump's strength in advocating on this case, including imposing those sanctions on Turkey, they clearly had an impact.
Yeah.
And there are many things that we can look at and appreciate about this case.
Well, Travis Weber, thanks for going to Turkey.
Thank you, Tony.
Glad you got back.
Yeah, me too.
All right, folks, out of time for today. But thanks for joining us and getting a little background on what happened in Turkey. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.